Okay.
So, I want to get you acquainted with what two-dimensional vector fields are. The idea is, how do you essentially represent a 2D coordinate transformation? You have two inputs, two outputs. Your inputs will be points on the plane, and we can imagine every possible input if our functions are defined everywhere. And our outputs will be arrows. So we imagine every point on the plane having an arrow coming out of that point. And the arrow will have magnitude and direction. It'll have two components, x and y. So what does that look like? So do some examples. Give you a feel for these things. So, all right, select a horizontal component for me. That looks interesting. What should we select from the P column first? There'll be time for several examples, so.
X plus Y,
okay, going right for the interesting ones. Okay? All right, so let's graph just a horizontal component, no vertical component. Okay, so right along this line here, x plus y is just zero. So the vectors there have magnitude zero. Okay? Now I go up over here, x plus y is positive. So we're going to have vectors up here with positive magnitude. And what direction do they point? Well, this x plus y will be positive up here, so they're going to point in the positive horizontal direction. And what if I go over here? Get some more points. Well, now x plus y is bigger. It's more positive, so I get longer arrows. The further I go up this way, the longer the arrows get, the more they point to the right. If I go this way, now x plus y is negative. So we get arrows pointing this way. And if I go more this way, x down here in the third quadrant, x plus y is even more negative. So we'll get longer arrows, but now they're pointing to the left. Really long arrow down here. Okay. So I have this kind of picture. So you imagine at every point there's one of these arrows. And I've just drawn a small sample of them. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, let's pick a vertical component. How about a Q? What shall we try first? That looks interesting there.
X minus Y.
X minus Y. Okay. All right. Okay, so that's going to be another diagonal, right? So right along this line is where x minus y is zero, the main diagonal. Okay. And now, let's see, if I go to the right of this diagonal, x becomes greater, right, as I move to the right, and as I'm moving to the right, y is not changing, but x is becoming greater, so x minus y will become positive as I go to the right. Or it's another way to think about it, if I don't change x but I go down, y becomes lesser, so x minus y becomes more. So either way, this half is where it's positive. But now, which way is positive? Ah, positive vertical component. So now I'm going to have arrows pointing up, like so. And if I go further this way, I'll get
x minus y even more positive. So I'll get arrows that are longer. The further I go down this way, towards the, was it the fourth quadrant? The longer these arrows should get. Right? So I should have a really long arrow down here.
Something like that.
And it's getting more and more positive as I go that way. I'm going to go this way. Okay, this way, we're going, say, from the left of that diagonal, you're decreasing x, so this quantity is going to become less, or equivalently, if you think about it this way, going up from the diagonal, we're increasing y, so again, x minus y becomes less. I'm going to go this way, and now things turn negative. We get these down arrows. Negative vertical components. And the further off that way we go, off towards the second quadrant up there, the more negative things we'll get. So we'll get longer vertical arrows. Okay. So this picture here. Okay. Now, we can try to put these two pictures together. See if we can have any success with that. Know how to do things like graph z equals x plus y, or at least have a computer graph it, and you know the functions of one variable, y equals x squared, etc. You have to get familiar with these vector fields, just like you had to get familiar with basic polynomial graphs back in the day. Okay, now can we put them together? So at the origin, say, we get nothing plus nothing. Over here, say, I get this positive horizontal plus a positive vertical. So something like that. Here, I'm going to get a... If I keep going this way, I'll get bigger positive horizontals, and it looks like bigger positive verticals, so something like this. And what happens if I go along the opposite way? Well, now it's the horizontals get more and more negative, the verticals get more and more negative, so you put those together and you get this. What else can we add to the picture? What happens along the y-axis? Nothing at the origin again. Here we have a positive horizontal, and it's going to get paired with something about here, right? You know, some negative vertical. So to the right, but down. So something like that. What happens up here? Well, now we've got an even more positive horizontal and an even more negative vertical. It's a bigger arrow, right? Well, down here, positive vertical, negative horizontal, like this. Get further away from the origin, even more so. Takes a while to do by hand.
You can do it on computers as well, of course, to speed this up.
So I filled in some of the points. Any questions so far?
taking the first example a little slow. See, what's happening along the diagonal? So along this diagonal here, no horizontal part. So we're just going to add on these vertical parts without any change. So down and really down, up and really up. And there's the other diagonal, the main diagonal here, first and third quadrants. There, we've got no vertical. It's all horizontal, so it's going to be like that. So up here we'll have right and really right, and left and really left. And then there's a few other points I haven't taken care of that are kind of in-between points. Let's see here. 8 points there that I haven't taken care of. What happens up here? We got a little bit down, but way to the right. So, like, something like that. This one is a little bit up. But, see. A little bit up and a little bit to the right. Something like this. And down here, some other stuff. What's going on here? Fair amount up. And a little bit to the right. Kind of like that. Still way up and a little bit to the left. Something like that. More to the left over here, but not as much up. Kind of like that. Yeah. Far to the right, a little bit down. What's going on? Okay. Filled in. The trade-off is you want to have more and more arrows, right? More and more sample points to get a better idea of what's going on, but it can get kind of crowded and you can have too many arrows, right? And they start to get on top of each other. Somewhat of a remedy for that is just to use shorter arrows, like scale everything down so the arrows don't bump into each other as much. Another thing you can do is you can draw what are called the streamlines, which I'll draw in blue here, roughly, which sometimes make it easier to see kind of what's going on. What are the streamlines? So there's a... Imagine you were just going along and you decided you would just follow the arrows. Okay? You're like an ant crawling on the whiteboard. And ignoring the magnitude of the arrows, you just say, okay, whichever point I'm at, I'm going to look at which way the arrow points and that's where I'm going to go next. So what would you get? You get something kind of like this.
somewhere around here, there's a bunch of diverging paths, right? Enough like that. They're getting really close together in there. Now these streamlines actually never cross, interestingly. If they cross, then that would mean there would be two places where you had different arrows, right? You'd have two different arrows at one point if they crossed. One arrow saying go that way, the other arrow saying go this way. So as long as you've only got one arrow at each point, the streamlines can never cross. So if I make them cross, it's because I made a mistake somewhere, right? So these streamlines might give you a slightly clearer idea of what crazy thing is going on here. Precise would, or accurate way of doing this kind of problem, figuring out the rest of your lines would be with a computer, right? Okay. Oh yeah, so this one is, yeah, kind of a complicated in general. The closer I look, the more little flaws I find with my approaches here and there. Okay. If you think it would be a great project to find the formula for these kind of streamlines, then you should take differential equations. Okay. That's exactly what they do. Right? You just have to solve a system of differential equations. And then these will give you solutions as a function of time. Or if you want to get rid of time, you can try and solve this system. Just take the kind of the ratios and.
Yeah.
Y'all went right for the tricky one, the trickier example. Yeah. Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. What do you think? Questions? Comments?
We're going to be doing this in 3D also, right?
That's tomorrow. I may need more help from a computer there. Just imagine we have a bunch of strings hanging from the ceiling, and along the string at various points we have a little arrow pointing out somewhere, right? So at every point in space there's an arrow of some magnitude and direction just sticking out. That's how a lot of physicists think of electric fields and magnetic fields.
So. You have to get used to it.
Yeah. So arrows everywhere. Okay. Vector fields. Okay. So
let me do. And I'll take one more request, and I'll do something different. All right. any other P and Q you want to see?
One and negative one.
Okay. Go for the opposite extreme. Extreme simplicity, huh? All right. So that's what we call a constant vector field, or uniform, meaning it's the same everywhere in space. So in the past we would have thought of just this is just one arrow. But now I'm thinking of it as a vector field, so I would have everywhere in two-dimensional space that one and the same arrow. So everywhere I'm going to go one to the right and one down, right? So this is a constant vector field. I will attempt to draw the same arrow over and over and over again. I won't do very well, but they're all supposed to be the same. Right? They're all supposed to be making that 45 degree angle. Right? Okay. So it's just the same thing. So that's an easier example. One to the right and one down, no matter where you are. The streamlines are pretty boring, right? They're just straight lines. Okay. There's another thing you can do. It's called the... orthogonal curves, where instead of streamlines, you try and make stuff perpendicular to the streamlines. That's, I'm not sure. I want to get to that. Yeah. Okay, so here's something a little different. Yeah. I was going to say something about orthogonal curves, but I should really just let that happen in differential equations. So, yeah. Unless I find another type for it here. Okay. So how about this time I make a vector field, and I'll choose a P and a Q, and you tell me which P and Q I chose. Which vector field is that?
The absolute value of x and y.
Well, a vector field has two components, right? There's a formula for the horizontal part, and there's a formula for the vertical part. So your answer should consist of not one function, but two functions, okay? So, and absolute values are not on my list, are they? Okay, but how about just the horizontal part, right? What's the horizontal part?
What did you want?
I was going for one. I was trying to make them all the same size. If it was x squared, then when x equals 0, the horizontal part would be 0, right? But these have a positive horizontal part, even when x is 0. Okay, so even if I didn't get the magnitudes quite, I mean, the horizontal part is quite constant, when x is 0, we clearly have a positive horizontal part here. And so the only thing here that would pull that off would be 1. And you can also see, I tried to make it so that, as you go along a horizontal line here, the arrows are, I tried to make them all the same. So these are not, this vector field does not depend on x at all. It's two functions of y. Right? The horizontal part is the function 1, right? It's a function of y, it doesn't depend on x. The vertical part really depends on y in a non-trivial way. It also does not depend on x. So what's the vertical component formula? Components down here, we go from 0 to negative to more negative. Right? If you felt like putting in some streamlines, it would look something like this. Right? And those are actually exponential growth curves, like y is going to be e to cx for some constant c. That's what the streamlines look like. They're actually precisely exponential growth. Anyways. Another way you can produce many but not all vector fields is gradients. So this gives us a broad class of examples that can be easier to understand if you understand well the function. That you're taking the gradient of. So remember, the gradient, it has x partial derivative of your function for the x component, horizontal component, and the y partial derivative is the y component. Okay. Now, why do I say not all vector fields? Well, we'll talk more about this in future classes, but the short answer is that if you take partial q partial x, that would be the x partial derivative of the y partial derivative of f. And assuming enough continuity of all these derivatives, then then the order of partial derivatives doesn't matter. So it would be the same as the y partial derivative of the x partial derivative of f, which would be the y partial derivative of p. So if pq is a gradient, then it has to satisfy this little partial differential equation. Partial q partial x equals partial p partial y. So if you give me a gradient that doesn't satisfy that, or sorry, if you give me a vector field that doesn't satisfy this equation, then I can tell you right off the bat it's not a gradient. Maybe the magnitudes are wrong, maybe the directions are wrong, maybe both, but it's not a gradient. So you won't get every vector field this way, but the ones you do get this way can be easier to understand, perhaps. Because remember, vector field F is perpendicular to the level curves of F. And gradient F points in the direction of steepest increase of F, or steepest ascent, going up. And what else can we say about gradient F? Its magnitude. Its magnitude is the maximum of all the directional derivatives. If you remember those things, right? This is at each point. So depending on where you're at, the direction of steepest ascent is in general different. But in that direction, the gradient is actually not just pointing in the right direction, but it actually is the steepest slope, if you look at its magnitude. Okay. So its magnitude is the steepest slope. That's the short way of saying. Okay. So we understand the direction of a gradient vector field in terms of the level curves. It's perpendicular. We understand which way it points. It points in the way that makes F increase. Right? Because if you're perpendicular to a curve, there's two ways you could point. So this tells us which way. And we also know something about the magnitude. So if you know something about your function, if you know it's getting steeper, then you know the gradient should get bigger. So here's a little simple common example. Okay, so think of something you learned about back when we were doing those quadric surfaces, right? Here's the standard elliptic paraboloid, right? This bowl. Okay? So let's use our understanding of this thing to make a simple little vector field. We can predict pretty accurately what the vector field will be like. So here's the gradient. Okay, take the x partial derivative and you get 2x. Take the y partial derivative and get 2y. Okay. Now, without having to think about x and y, I can tell you what this is going to look like. So what are the level curves of this? If I set x squared plus y squared equal to a constant,
What kind of curve is that? X squared plus y squared equals 9. What is that? Yeah, it's a circle. And it's centered about the origin. And the bigger that z level is, the bigger the circle. Yeah?
Okay. Okay. So we get these level curves. And as we get further away from the origin, z gets bigger, right? So the gradients are going to point outward from the circle. And as we get further away from x and y equals 0, right, we get to a steeper and steeper part of the bowl, right? So the gradients are going to get bigger. Okay. So we have these arrows pointing out perpendicular to the circles, and as we get further out, the arrows get bigger. So without having to think seriously about what it means to have a horizontal component given by 2x and a vertical component given by 2y, I can already say a lot about this vector field 2x, 2y, because I understand the function I got it from. So this can be another way of gaining insight into vector fields. Again, this can be, if I draw these right, they're all perpendicular. So I have my knowledge about how big the arrows should be, which way they should point. So if you understand your function really well, to understand the gradient very well. You want to gain more insight into this stuff, more intuition perhaps I should say. You can go on Wolfram Alpha or some other website. You can make a free account at sagemath.com, their cloud server. But probably the quickest thing is just go to Wolfram Alpha and just, you know, do plot vector field. Right? And type in the formula, right? You know. All right. There'll be a comma somewhere, right? Because you have the horizontal formula, comma, the vertical formula. Let's see. Now maybe somebody's calculator does vector fields, but I'm not so sure about that. Let's see. Yeah. I have a differential equations graph mode, but that's kind of like vector field plots. But I don't really have just a straight up vector field plot mode on my calculator, so I'm happiest when I just have a computer do plots of complicated vector fields. So, let's see here. Bring up this. And I may need to photograph something. Okay. I want you to see if you can cook up, using my ingredients here, a vector field whose streamlines are concentric circles. So your arrows should take you around in loops. You'll get to find out whether they're clockwise loops or counterclockwise loops. I think I have enough ingredients on there that could you, yeah, you could actually do both, right?
You could make them go in clockwise loops. You could also make them go in counterclockwise loops. Okay. Any other questions, comments, horrible mistakes on the whiteboard? All right. Okay, we'll go 3D tomorrow.